my friends, and onward we go with Rule 5.6, the sixth program on the fifth rule. And this is our A Treatise on White Magic video commentary, number 41. We've been talking about the reception that might come to us on our own and through our own efforts and our own refinement. But there is also that which comes from the Lodge of Great Messengers. And we have to be, let me get that a little adjustment here, moving around. You'll see a painting in the background from the Australian artist Vida Aerosmith. She and her husband Brian were deeply in the work for a long time and did very well. And this picture came to me from her, and we have it here. Surrounded by Buddhas here. You don't see them all, but they're here. Anyway, the great messengers superimpose their teaching, or should be able to, upon that which the disciple receives. We have a modicum of knowledge, and the great teachers add to it. Will we accept that knowledge? I think it would be the part of wisdom that we did so, and sometimes it does contradict the sensitive psychic knowledge which we seem to gather from our own investigations, and when that is the case, a test arises. if the source of from hierarchy is to be trusted, that's a basic discrimination, because many people feel that what they are receiving is definitely from hierarchy, and you know, with a little more discrimination, you can see it's definitely from the astral reflection of the hierarchy. So if the source is really trusted as being from hierarchy, then we have to question why what we receive contradicts it. And that is a test of humility and proportion. Okay, so he says here, as we go on page 176, that each generation should now produce its seers. Perhaps as in olden days, but more scientifically trained, I guess. I like the word spelt seers, for to see is to know. This is interchangeable. Two words here. Interchangeable. And I often use them interchangeably myself, you know, when I say that the universe is produced by the self-sight of the universal logos, self-perception of the universal logos, self-knowledge of the universal logos. The fault of all of you is that you see not. Well, that's pretty direct. You perceive an angle, a point of vision, a partial aspect of the great fabric of truth. But all that lies behind is occult to your three-dimensional vision. Well, this is an incentive to see more. There was a name called Seymour. I once had a friend by the name of Seymour. And if I had been given that name, I would consider it an injunction to work on my sense of subtle vision. You perceive an angle, a point of vision, a partial aspect of the great fabric of truth. We just it's a great tapestry of woven energies, and but there's more. It's hidden from us. The revelation is there, but we don't see it. Okay. We might say the revelation is ever present, but we are obtuse and are not impressed by it. We see it not. It is necessary for those who want to act as true transmitters and intermediaries between the knowers of the race and the little ones, namely the, what can we say, the initiates of the first and second degree, and also to an extent the aspirants and probationers. It is necessary for those who want to act as true transmitters and intermediaries between the knowers of the race and the little ones that they keep their eyes on the horizon and seek to extend their vision. This is a Jupiterian kind of, Jupiter is a seer. Is a seer. And the expander of the ring pass not. Of course, there's other ways you can break through a horizon, and you can dissolve it, and you can perforate it. You know, there's different ways, but all of us are emanations. We might say diminishing emanations, at least when we left the Absolute Father's home. Well, I can't call it absolute. When we left the home of the Universal Logos, which we are, we became a diminishing emanation. And at some depth, that descent stopped, and emanative retraction began. It is the great pilgrimage. It's more than the pilgrimage of the human monad. It's the universal pilgrimage of all descending emanations, descending from the homogeneous universal logos, or the unitive being, let's say. Okay, so we have to seek to extend our vision, that we, they, should hold steadily the inner realization that they already have, and seek to increase its scope. Let vision build, let greater vision build upon the vision already acquired. That they hold on to the truth that all things are headed towards revelation and the form matters not. That's a hard one in our materialistic Aryan age. The fifth ray is associated very much, the way we use it, with the material form. And many of us do hold on to the form as if it were the reality. Well, we're being given a number of injunctions here, pieces of advice. This book is replete with them. And, you know, we just have to remember them and follow them. And revelation will be inevitable. Progress will be inevitable. Liberation, inevitable. Emanative return, inevitable. And ever greater spheres of identification, inevitable. They must seek preeminently to be dependable instruments, unswayed by passing storms. We all have those storms, and the emotional body in this solar system is not really subdued. We are not yet a sacred solar system, although the solar logos is very sacred when compared to the planetary logoi, and certainly when compared to the atom man. They must endeavor to remain free from depression, no matter what occurs. All right. Because a depressed state of mind or of astrality can make a true reception impossible. The vibration just will not rise to meet the higher vibration which is attempting to impress. They must endeavor to remain free from depression no matter what occurs, liberated from discouragement, which is so easy incident to a long life in which the results of one's labors are not clearly seen, as a true hierarchical seer on the inner side would see, liberated from discouragement with a keen sense of proportion. And that, of course, will eliminate glamour and much illusion. A right judgment in all things. A regulated life, a disciplined physical body, and a wholehearted devotion to humanity. Well, you know, we have some extraordinary things here. Maybe they are too extraordinary. They should be more ordinary. And then we would have more rapid achievement. So, all of these things are required if we want to be true transmitters. And the age of the transmitter is coming. We even have, you know, have had the physical plane correspondence to these things emerging in this age of invention when the fifth ray has been so strong. Where these qualities are present, the masters can begin to use. Now, notice, that's not even extensive use, it's a beginning. Can begin to use their destined workers. Where they are absent, other instruments must be found. So these are wonderful requirements. I think I'll send an email to myself with these paragraphs, as if it came from someone else, and I'll read it attentively and attempt to put this into practice. But, you know, depression, discouragement, I guess we have to work without attachment to results, doing the right thing as we understand it, and eventually the results will appear. But if we are dismayed by every vicissitude in our career as a disciple, much time will be lost, and we will not accomplish what otherwise we might if we worked with faith, conviction, ignoring what appear to be the counter forces to our work. We have to emphasize that which is positive, and if we fight the counter forces too much, you know, or in the wrong way, we'll give them energy. So that has to be remembered. Where these qualities are present, the master can begin to use their destined workers. Master DK recognized his destined workers, among some of those who applied to the Arcane School in the early days. They came into incarnation for that purpose, and they were gathered around him. He recognized them and incorporated them into the various groups whereby they could begin to transcend their individual attitudes and be of some use to the ashram. Where they are absent, other instruments must be found. And this is not only a factual statement, you know. This is more than a factual statement. It is a warning to all those who are sincere in their intent to serve. Service can be delayed. So, you know, the requirements are many, and in this section and in the section before, Master DK was talking about counting the price. What do we have up here, if I can remember it? Unselfishness, self-surrender, purity, sensitiveness, fine discrimination, But we don't want to pay the price, he says. That's why a master is the rare efflorescence of a generation of inquirers. Some people learn at night and regularly bring over into their physical brain consciousness the facts they need to know and the teachings they should transmit. Many methods are tried, suited to the nature of the aspirant or chela. Maybe not everyone learns at night, huh? But we have been told of the classes that are taught on the inner planes between the time of 10 at night and 5 in the morning in your own zone. I don't know if those inner classes observe daylight saving time or not, but we probably can't be too rigid in our approach. If we can bring through a few things that are of use to us, then that's good. And experiment, Uranian experiment, is the nature of how hierarchy works. Uranian experiment is the nature of hierarchical work. Some have brains that act telepathically as transmitters. I deal with safer and rarer methods which utilize the mental vehicle as the intermediary between the soul and the brain. Why safer? Let's see, who knows what we will receive or send. But Master DK, is trying to teach us the method whereby our mental vehicle can receive from our own soul and impress the brain, or between teacher and disciple. So the mind is very important in Master DK's work, and it must receive from the soul or from the master. Acting, the mind is intermediary. Well, obviously, when we read the books and study carefully, we are receiving from the mind of the master. And when we meditate, the angel of the presence, the solar angel, you know, as much of the, my way of looking at this at the moment is that the angel of the presence is as much of the solar angel as can be radiated as a presence into the egoic lotus. It is, in a way, the creator and sustainer, the substander of the egoic lotus. And eventually clears the way for the introduction of the personality consciousness to the triadal monadic consciousness. Anyway, DK is talking about two methods here, transmitting from one brain to another, from one mind to another, and he's dealing with using the mind as the intermediary between the soul and the brain, or the intermediary between the disciple and the, between the teacher and the disciple. The soul is the teacher, and the, in this case, the disciple is kind of the brain. Methods of communication on the astral level, such as the Ouija board, the planchette pencil, automatic writing, the direct voice, and statements made by the temporarily obsessed medium, are not used, as a rule, you know, there's always an exception, by chelas, though the direct voice has its use at times. So DK is here reviewing the various methods of communication and informing us about those which are useful or not. So, okay, chelas. Add to dictionary. Okay, and Ouija, add to dictionary. So, we do realize that there is a greater perspective from the right levels of the inner worlds. There's also much confusion if we tune in on the levels which are contaminated by glamour and from which illusion and wrong interpretation come, namely some lower mental levels which cannot embrace the larger understanding of the abstract mind and the intuition and so forth. There are other methods of communication. The higher mental methods are more advanced and surer, even if rarer, because on lower levels, there is so much distortion. Twisting and turning, and things are no longer in the proper shape. So this is a whole section, about the validity, the sources and the validity of what the sensitive person, sometimes we call them a sensitive, what the sensitive receives. And what the transmitter offers. The true transmitters from the higher egoic levels to the physical plane proceed in one or other of the following ways. And these are the true transmitters. They have, I think, a correspondence to the what's called the transmitting devas. Oh, the true transmitters with a correspondence to the transmitting devas. Okay, so we don't want to be the recipient of that which is of low caliber, even if it seems quite unique to us because it comes from the inner planes. I think as Atlanteans, we had a lot of inner astral experience, and it was the common way. And now it's been a long time in this Aryan age, and some of those doors have been shut, and now when they are reopened, it all seems new and wonderful, but it can lead many into glamour and illusion, can lead many astray. So the true transmitters, they write from personal knowledge and therefore employ their concrete minds at the task of stating this knowledge in terms that will reveal the truth to those who have eyes to see, and yet will conceal that which is dangerous from the curious and the blind. So, how one imparts what one knows is of great importance, a great protective importance. And we see Master DK doing this all the time. He writes in a way that will be understood by those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, how the old sayings go. So they work from the higher egoic levels and they're able to focus within the causal body at least. These transmitters are able focus within the causal body and our initiates. This is a hard task to accomplish, for the concrete mind expresses the abstract most inadequately, and in the task of embodying truth in words, much of the true significance is lost, so how carefully and sensitively can we clothe abstract thought or more? Oh, sorry. Intuitive impression in the words of the concrete mind. And there are ways to do it. There are sensitive people who can combine words in such a way that they say more, they point to more, than the usual interpretation of the word. And sometimes some of the mystics had this ability. So here's number one. They write from personal knowledge, and they use their concrete minds at the task of stating this knowledge. Okay. Now the others is another. They write because they are inspired. You know, they've breathed in a God, inspiration. They've breathed in the breath of the Spirit from wherever it comes. And there are a number of these methods which are here described. I think it's going to be a very important section, because there are so many errors in this area, and people become followers of a deluded teacher. It wastes much time, just like adherence to the Geminian teacher Bucyrus in the Labors of Hercules wastes much time, until some great realization of truth or quest for truth arises in the disciple, and he separates himself from this world of illusion and glamour. So they write because they are inspired, because of their physical equipment, their purity of life, their singleness of purpose, their devotion to humanity, and the very karma of service itself. They have developed the capacity to touch the higher sources from which pure truth or symbolic truth flows. Again, you know, are we willing to purchase these abilities through the expenditure of our energies and life? Because we always will be, you know, purchasing with our energy some type of experience. They can tap thought currents that have been set in motion by the great bands of contemplatives or mnemonikayas, or those definite specialized thought currents originated by one of the staff of teachers. So this is a catalog of high abilities pertaining to high souls, if I can put it that way. Their brains, being receptive transmitters, enable them to express these contacted thoughts on paper, or, you know, now on computer. The accuracy of the transmission being dependent upon the receptivity of the instrument, that is, the mind and brain of the transmitter. So, from higher sources, these impressions come. And the transmitters are very high compared to the recipient. The recipient becomes a transmitter in his own right. In these cases, the form of words and the sentences are largely left to the writer. Now, you know, some of the Agni Yoga books, says DK, were received and further transmitted in this way. Some were the words of Master Moria, some were the impression or thoughts of Master Moria, and some of the words were simply provided by the publishers. Therefore, the appropriateness of the terms used and the correctness of the phraseology will depend upon his mental equipment, his educational advantages, the extent of his vocabulary, and his inherent capacity to understand the nature and quality of the imparted thoughts and ideas. I'm recalling, I'm not really a student of the nature of the soul and the Lucille Cedarcrans work, but I'm recalling that she basically said, look, the words are mine, and that she was formulating the words on the basis of the impression she received, but she was not receiving direct words. Now, in some cases, as in esoteric astrology, where Alice Bailey knew at the time very little of astrology, the words were given directly, and I think in other places in the books, and proofreading was the responsibility of the Tibetan, which he undertook with great care. I understand that was the case, especially with the astrology book, when you look at the cosmic fire work and so forth, he had to be very, very sure that the recipient, the telepath in this case, was formulating his ideas with real accuracy, and so the impartation by a specific word was probably very important. Now here is some further ways in which the transmission can occur. So far it's from their own knowledge and their own experience, which may be that of the higher mental plane or beyond. The second was inspiration. And now DK is going to deal with something that may, I think, relate to Alice Bailey. They write because, number three, they write because of the development of the inner hearing. Their work is largely stenographic. We remember that he said that after his work in the last dispensation was completed, he was looking for no new stenographers, knowing that there would be a great rush to fill the shoes of Alice Bailey. Their work is largely stenographic, yet is also partially dependent upon their standard of development and their education, which in AAB's case was high, a high British education, and previous cooperation with Master DK as a Chela in the light in earlier times. We don't know when. A certain definite unfoldment of the centers coupled with karmic availability. Those are interesting words, and they will apply to those who make their application to the new esoteric schools. The karma will be looked up, and there must be karmic availability. Otherwise, how can you go to school, especially for years? A certain definite unfoldment of the centers coupled with karmic availability constitutes the basis of choice by the teacher on the subtler planes who seeks to impart a definite instruction and a specialized line of thought, and let's just say this certainly applies to the AAB work and to some of what HPB received from the Tibetan. The responsibility as to the accuracy is therefore divided between the one who imparts the teaching and the transmitting agent. What we understand is that between them, Master DK and Alice Bailey worked out a form of English which was suitable for this transmission, and Alice Bailey's knowledge of the current language was important. The Tibetan at first seemed to be writing in an older form of English, which appears in some of the earlier books. The physical plane agent must be carefully chosen, and the accuracy of the imparted thought form as expressed on the physical plane will depend upon the willingness to be used, his positive mental polarization, and his freedom from astralism, which would be a distorting factor. So these are, if we want to be an amanuensis, let's get rid of that and that, and maybe I went a little too far there. Okay. So there, you know, the will has to accord with it. At first, Alice Bailey said, what did she say in her autobiography? I'm no darn psychic. She was rejecting that kind of impression because she knew of the dangers of psychism and its distortions. There has to be not a negative attitude, but a positive alert mind and freedom from being swept by the astral currents, which are filled with glamour and are very personal. To this must be added the fact that the better educated a man may be, the wider his range of knowledge and scope of world interest, the easier it will be for the teacher on the inner side to render through his agency the knowledge to be imparted. So people of high education and good mentality would be required for serious amanuensic work. Is there such a word? Amanuensic work. A highly highly and broadly educated person would be desirable. So much of that, you know, was between Alice Bailey and the Tibetan. And maybe not so much is given to us to understand how it did occur. Many have been the pretenders, you know, the claimants, the people who said, well, I'm, you know, taking over where this ended, and the Tibetan is now speaking through me, and he foresaw this and said he really wasn't looking to work in this way again, at least not until later in the process, maybe 75 years later. We're approaching the date now, 2025, when another dispensation of the teaching will be offered. Frequently, the dictated data may be entirely foreign to the receiver. Now, let's just say he's reviewing his own process with AAB. This is how it was with much of what AAB received in Treatise on Cosmic Fire, let us say. You know, a book written for initiates and beyond the ken of the averaged, well-educated mind. He must have a certain amount, therefore, of education and be himself a profound seeker of truth before he will be chosen to be the recipient of teachings that are intended for the general public or esoteric use. And this will, of course, eliminate many. This will eliminate many claimants because they are not profound seekers of truth, and the education is somewhat wanting. But of course, they don't realize that and are simply imitating those who can do the job in a real way. And one day, those who attempt to bring through in a manner that is glamorous or illusory will wake up to that and try to correct their process. But the trouble is, of course, many will have been misled or delayed. So, a keen sense of proportion, spiritual discernment, discrimination, humility, because it's so often the desire to exalt the personality into someone important that inclines a person towards this type of role. Some sad stories can be told, and one can even wonder whether the premature passing of some people did not occur because they were somehow harming the teaching through their ambitious and egotistical approach. Above everything else, he must have learned through meditation to focus himself on the mental plane. Well, you know, people say the Alice Bailey teaching is too mental. They often say that. But we know that in order to avoid the pitfalls of astralism and misinterpretation, a very strong mental focus is needed, and obviously even a higher mental focus than strictly the lower mental plane focus. Similarity of vibration and of interests holds the clue to the choice of transmitter. So I say, working with someone on the same ray will be best and necessary. Note that I say similarity of vibration and of interest, and not the equality of vibration and interest. After all, this is a step-down transformation process. An electrical transformer takes a certain, maybe very high current or voltage, and reduces the intensity thereof. But the electricity does get through in a manner that can be handled by the lower recipient. This form of work might be divided into three methods. Okay. He's showing us how it works. There is, first of all, the higher clairaudience that speaks directly from mind to mind. All right, let's just look at these methods. Right, there is first the speech from mind to mind. Okay. And this is not exactly telepathy, but a form of direct hearing. The teacher will speak to the disciple as person to person. A conversation is therefore carried out entirely on mental levels with the higher faculties as the focusing point. The use of the head centers is involved, and they must both be vivified before this method can be employed. What does he mean by both? Does he mean the head centers of both the teacher and the recipient? Or is he talking about specific types of head centers, such as the Thousand Petal Lotus and the Ajna Center and so forth? The use of the head centers is involved, and they must both be vivified. Well, there are two major head centers, you know, the Ajna and the Thousand Petal Lotus, plus the heart within the head, within the Thousand Petal Lotus. They must both be vivified before this method can be employed. In the astral body, the centers corresponding to the physical have to be awakened before astral psychism is possible. You know, we've seen that if we look at this map, there are centers right here on the emotional plane, and some of these centers have to be awakened in order to be the recipient of the astral psychism. The work that I refer to here involves a corresponding vivification in the mental body counterparts, and here we see at least four centers on the middlemost plane, subplane of the mental plane, and these have to be vivified. These are technicalities regarding vivification. Necessary vivification technicalities. Okay, so mind to mind. This is the first way of working in this method of hearing. Okay. A higher type of clairaudience, and let's just see if we go to this chart that, as I say, Keith Bailey assembled this long ago. Very useful. Here is clairaudience, and here is higher clairaudience pertaining to the seventh level of the mental plane, seventh sublevel. So, you know, hearing is always involved with the apprehension of the next sphere of experience. It's the first of the faculties to be utilized. We hear first, then we feel the touch, then we see, and then maybe we grasp the wholeness of things afterwards. Okay, now, in this business of receiving via the elevated sense of hearing, not just the hearing of the outer plane, we have a basic telepathic communication. This is the registry in the physical brain consciousness of information imparted, and let's see how it comes, direct from master to pupil, from disciple to disciple, from student to student. So, but this idea of registration in the physical brain consciousness is a very important factor. The physical brain cannot be overlooked in the whole process of grounding the more subtle impression. Direct from master to pupil, okay, from master or disciple, high disciple presumably, to the ego and thence to the personality via the atomic subplanes. These, on the first level, are the atomic subplanes, and there is a direct road or route or method of transmission via the first subplanes of various planes. But here, it's not the personal consciousness of the recipient that is activated. First, the ego is his soul, you know, and we're told that masters work with souls, principally, and thence to the personality. You will note, therefore, that only those in whose bodies atomic subplane matter is found can work this way. Safety and accuracy lie in this equipment. By the time the third initiation is taken, the Chela has 75% atomic matter. And at the fourth initiation, 100%. That presents some interesting issues when you think about whether one keeps a physical body or not. Then there is the kind of telepathy which works from ego to ego via the causal body, and transmitted direct according to the preceding method is stored up to work through gradually and at need. So the old idea, there is more in the ego than in the mind, and more in the mind than in the brain. And when we receive new information, it may have been imparted long ago and stored, waiting for its proper moment. So, you know, this is a section giving us the various methods of telepathic communication. All right, let's see if I can get this a little larger. Okay, thirdly, are we rising here in the caliber of the work to be done? Looks like it. Thirdly, we have inspiration. There's a divine element in this. Usually when we say a person is inspired, he's, you know, touched by some very high source and communicates something that is relatively rare in the lower worlds. This involves another aspect of development. Inspiration is analogous to mediumship, but is entirely egoic. We're not talking about receiving from the astral plane. We're in the super rational worlds. Thus, it is super rational. And it utilizes the mind as the medium of transmission to the brain of that which the soul knows. Okay, the soul itself, the soul or angel, is imparting its own wisdom. Okay, so I want to say that. All right, and he distinguishes the solar angel or angel of the presence imparts its own wisdom to the mind and thence the brain. Mediumship usually describes the process when confined entirely to astral levels. On the egoic plane, this involves inspiration. So it's a much higher impartation. Ponder on this explanation, for it explains much. Mediumship is dangerous, and why is this so? Because the mental body is not involved, and so the soul is not in control. You know, really, who knows what can come in? There are many negative entities from the lower levels of the astral plane, entities and planes with whom and with which we are to have nothing to do, and there's no barrier to their entry, and obsession can result. The mental body is not involved, and so the soul is not in control. The medium is an unconscious instrument. He is not himself the controlling factor. He is controlled, and by what? That's the question. So this is all of this is subtle, but not spiritual. Frequently also, the discarnate entities who employ this method of communication, utilizing the brain or voice apparatus of the medium, are not highly evolved and are quite incapable of employing mental plane methods. Yeah. So, you know, we expect something illuminative or of high quality to come through, and the sources are not anywhere near as high as we might hope or imagine. Some people combine the method of inspiration and of receiving instruction along various lines, and when this is the case, great accuracy of transmission is found. Now, I have a feeling that, you know, he would say, this is the way that Alice Bailey was working. Some people combine the method of inspiration, you know, from the soul, and of receiving instruction in a mental telepathic manner, and then the inner worlds and their valuable content can really be brought through. So, the inner worlds and their valuable spiritual content can be impressed upon the brain. Occasionally, again, as in the case of HBB, you have deep knowledge, an ability to be inspired, and mental clairaudience combined. When this is the case, you have a rare and useful instrument for the aiding of humanity. Notice how they look at their amanuenses, not personally at all, but instrumentally, and in terms of their developmental and energy capabilities. So this, you know, there's certainly an objectivity there with which the masters view their disciples as possible instruments of transmission. Deep knowledge, well, that's pretty obvious. Anybody who reads the Secret Doctrine for the rest of their life will realize the depth of the knowledge some of it belonging to HBB, who apparently was born as an initiate. She was also a medium, so her body was used by those masters with very high knowledge. She had the ability to be inspired, you know, this... she had the recipient in her. Cancer was the rising sign. And she had mental clairaudience. Perhaps it was the Venus and the Moon in Libra in the third house of clairaudience or mental receptivity. Maybe Alice Bailey didn't have all of this. Maybe her knowledge, depth of knowledge was not as great as HBB's. Probably you could say that. Probably she had the ability to be inspired and probably mental clairaudience. So we have been looking at ways of working under for the reception via sound of the teaching. And we have direct voice, direct speech. What does he call it? Does he call it direct voice? I'll just call it direct voice here for the moment, not go hunting. We have telepathic communication, and we have inspiration. Okay. Inspiration originates on the higher levels. It presupposes a very high point in evolution, for it involves the egoic consciousness and necessitates the use of atomic matter, thus opening up a wide range of communications even beyond the soul, or what we normally call the soul, even beyond the consciousness contained upon the higher mental plane. This we call the soul. It spells safety. It should be remembered that the soul is always good. It may lack knowledge in the, and this is even, even the case with apparently evil personalities, and you see DK discriminating. He talks about certain evil personalities, but he doesn't talk about evil souls. There is the case, a few cases where the members of the Black Lodge can work from causal levels, and they work very powerfully, but DK doesn't say much about that, and it's rare. The soul, it may lack knowledge in the three worlds, and in this way be deficient, but it harbors no evil. Inspiration is always safe, whereas mediumship is always to be avoided. Inspiration may involve telepathy, or the person inspiring may do three things. So inspiration and telepathy together. Okay, inspiration is always safe. I think that's the most important thing to say. We're reaching into our highest levels, and if we can, bringing them down, and there is so much goodness in terms of the divine purpose and plan to be reached on those high levels. So here we have coming up some description of how the inspired person works. So this, let's call it that. The following is a description regarding how the inspired individual works as a receiver. Okay, now I think we have, so I'm not going to really get into that until the next time. I'm going to call this the end of a treatise on white magic video commentary number 41, and page, let's see, this is rule 5 point, I'm hoping it's rule 5.6. Yes, it's going to be rule 5.6 and pages 176 to 180. Okay, we're doing about 4 or 5 pages per 1 hour program, and this will be the beginning of A Treatise on White Magic, video commentary number 41, rule 5.7, and page 180 until we will see how far we can go. Okay, just looking back here to 176, as I so often do, don't I? Yes. All right, so, and this goes to 180. All right, friends, well, onward we go. My consciousness is sometimes sharp and sometimes a little less sharp. But the object here is to persist, as we must in our studies. So, we will go on when the opportunity presents, and meanwhile, let us study and absorb and make this material our own through meditation on it, intensive, careful, attentive study, and the application of whatever we can absorb to our immediate circumstances in loving service and intelligent service as well. Okay, thank you. Many blessings. See you soon. Bye-bye.